From the field to the film room to the war room, we've got you covered every step of the way as the road to the draft starts right now. Welcome to the Chalkboard, my fellow football nerds, for episode number 153 of Chalk Talk. I'm your host, Shane Half, and you can follow me on Twitter and YouTube at Shane Half NFL. I'm joined today by the best co-host in the game. You've heard him on the Tough Cover radio show. It is Mark Henry Jr. Give him a follow on Twitter at Mark Henry Jr. _. Mark, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. My voice is still recovering from WrestleMania. Two nights, 8 hours of screaming my head off at the link. Usually you would think that's, you know, an Eagles game. Maybe it went, you know, triple overtime in the playoffs. No, it was two nights of WrestleMania. My voice might not sound the best, but now officially focused going forward. No more WrestleMania. No more March Madness. It's all NFL draft. That's all my focus is on.
You know, my voice, I think, always sounds bad. So, you know, it's nice that you're trying to make me feel a little better here. So I do appreciate that. That's why we call you the best co-host in the game. I'm also joined by my co-host. He's the other best co-host in the game, fellow draft enthusiast Dives. Give him a follow on Twitter at Mr. Crockpot. Be sure you check out his podcast, Party on Broad. Dives, how are you doing today?
I'm good, man. Not the most exciting group, but is definitely a need. You could argue maybe top five need for the Philadelphia Eagles right now as the roster stands. You look at Albert O, you look at Grant Calcaterra, you look at Jack Stoll. Heading elsewhere, finding a valuable tight end too for this roster for Jalen Hurts is definitely important. And let's call it like it is. I love Dallas Goedert, and I'm excited to see how he looks with more targets under Kellen Moore. But the dude is a lock to miss at least a month of the season pretty much every year. So finding a guy, especially a wide receiver, tight end-ish, that can jump in and fill that role, fill that void, is really important. So we're going to talk about some guys here.
Yeah, we are going to talk about the tight end draft class. It is the last group of prospects that we have not ranked yet. If you've been following along on the feed, you've noticed we haven't done a live show since we did our Super Bowl recap. All of the draft podcasts have been re-aired, but we are back to live. We are back to featuring everything exclusively on Chalk Talk here. We've got some comments rolling in from Miss Chris, says, "Hey, Shane and company." Also asks about the draft spreadsheet. So I do want to plug that real quick. We have released our annual draft guide. I've tweeted out the link. I think all these guys have as well. I also made a tutorial video on YouTube that shows you how to use it. And there's a link there. So if you check around, you can find it here. But on its opening page here, we've got a plug for the Edge of Philly Sports Watch Party. That'll be April 25th at 7 p.m. We'll be doing live day one analysis. We'll be back for day two of the draft. There's links to our previous big boards, and then you have our big boards. And it has highlights for who's the highest on a player, who's the lowest. We've got an average between all five of us analysts. We have a consensus big board, relative athletic scores, Mark's player comps for the sum of the players. My top 50 will end up having links to short 2 to 3 minute YouTube videos. I'm about halfway through those, so go check that out. You will have to download a copy to be able to filter it, and then you can filter by specific position or specific college if there's something you're trying to find, but you will have to make a copy of it to be able to filter. So be sure you check that out. We will be featuring that on our draft show when we get there. All right. Let's go to a couple more comments and then we'll dive right in. We've got time for UFL football. He says we get one thumbs up. That's it. That's all right. We'll take one thumbs up. Ask what our thoughts on the Bills are. We're going to be getting into, I think next week, we're going to do a full first round mock draft. So we'll get into some specific team fits and things there. So be sure you check back for that one. And then one more here. We've got Al on Twitter says, "What should the Phillies do with Castellanos? Just kidding. Best minds in the draft." And so I don't even know what that's referencing, because I'm just a football guy. Another comment, excited to check out the big board. So welcome, everyone. We're going to dive in here. And Mark, I'm going to throw it to you first here with a guy that is number one on all of our boards at a tight end. This is a consensus. Honestly, it's very rare you can say if you have a different tight end number one, a different guy at any position number one, that you're crazy. If this guy's not your number one at tight end, you're a little bit crazy. Mark, talk to me about Brock Bowers.
Yeah, and you know, I hate to say with multiple guys at multiple positions in one draft that they're the best of that position that I've ever evaluated doing what we do here, but this is the best tight end I've ever evaluated. Brock Bowers surpassed the previous highest tight end I've ever evaluated is Kyle Pitts. And I'll kind of, you know, compare the two a little bit in a second, but Brock Bowers, 6'3", 244, allegedly runs a 4.5. That's alleged, because he has not worked out in terms of, you know, testing and all of that. Three really, really good years. It's kind of funny. All three are really similar. 2020, like 56 catches, 63 catches, 56 catches, 717 yards, 942, 882, six touchdowns, seven touchdowns, 13 touchdowns. Like, actually, you probably could make the argument that his first year, his freshman year, was his best year. He was the SEC Freshman of the Year. Funny enough, he was the Mackey Award winner the other 2 years, not his freshman year, when he probably had the best year of his college career. I think a big thing about why Brock Bowers is the best tight end prospect that I've ever evaluated is that he's also by far the best blocking tight end in this class. And I think when you pair that with being the best receiving tight end in this class, then I think that's a pretty dangerous combination. He's a contested catch monster, a yak animal. He's an extremely versatile playmaker who lines up all over the formation, 40% of his snaps coming from the slot, another 11% from out wide. The rest is probably like 49% coming in line as a tight end. He just defies everything that I've tried to tell myself about overrating tight ends. And I mean, there's a comment here. Is Kyle Pitts a praise at this point? Kills me in fantasy every year. And yeah, it's funny. I feel like there's been times that I've kind of went back and you looked at how tight ends have fared that went near the top of the draft and hasn't usually panned out that well. You look at the top tight ends in the league and it seems like you find them on day two almost exclusively. Travis Kelce, Sam Laporta, George Kittle, Dallas Goedert, Dalton Kincaid went the back end of the first round, but there's a ton of tight ends, and most of the good ones have went on day two or even later. So I understand the concern of not wanting to draft a guy that high. And I think I've kind of adjusted it. I think if a Kyle Pitts came along again, that was that good of a receiver, but maybe not a blocker at all, he probably wouldn't be a top five pick for me anymore, but he probably would still be a fringe top 10 guy. And maybe we'll finally see Kyle Pitts live up to that this year. But the reason Brock Bowers is a better prospect than Kyle Pitts is his numbers are better as a receiver in an offense that passed much less frequently. So in a less high octane passing offense, he had better numbers than Kyle Pitts. And oh yeah, he's the best blocker in the class, while Kyle Pitts wasn't a blocker at all coming out. So that's why Brock Bowers has surpassed any other tight end that I've ever evaluated. And it's why he is, you know, a top five potential pick for me.
Yeah, so he's number five on Mark's big board. He's number seven for me, number 14 at four dives overall. And to the question on Twitter or on Twitch, excuse me, about 50% of Bowers' production being yak, is that a concern? I could see where that's a concern for like a receiver that gets schemed up touches and screen passes and things, disguising the fact that they're explosive, but they're not a very good route runner. Brock Bowers is an incredible route runner. Like, he separates consistently on routes, specifically routes that leverages athleticism, like seam routes, those over routes. And he's got elite ball skills. So I don't think this is a case of we're scheming up touches for him because, you know, he can't really get open. I think it's both. He gets open really well. And oh, by the way, he averages 8.5 yards after the catch in 2023, for 17 missed tackles. So Brock Bowers is consensus number one tight end in the class for all three of us. We've all got a first round grade on him. I think specifically, he's a guy you can weaponize moving around in your offense. He took 52% of his snaps in the slot, but he didn't take them all there. He took 37% of his snaps lined up in line as a tight end. And Mark mentioned his blocking, and I wouldn't call it a strength, but I would say he's like average as a blocker. And it's the best in class by far. Well, I'll get to another guy that I like as a blocker, but doesn't have near the receiving threat. But Dibes, anything you want to add in there on Brock Bowers?
No, he's a sneaky target for Howie Roseman. This could be a surprise pick that I would not hate whatsoever. Like Mark said, he nailed it. He's extremely well-balanced. I think he fits pretty much every single football team out there, most notably the Philadelphia Eagles. But an amazing run blocker. And there were times for Georgia when they couldn't go to him enough. I mean, he was unstoppable at times. That's how good he was. I would love to see him in Midnight Green. If he slips to that area where the Eagles are available, there's definitely going to be a conversation.
Two rebuttals real quick, just on Bowers. And of course, me and Shane had different percentages there. I feel like when you look at that, those snap count percentages, it's always different no matter where you're looking at.
Yeah.
But it's that stuff always frustrates me during the draft process. But a comment here, Hockenson is the exception. He was a first rounder. Hockenson's NFL stats, if you look at them, don't blow you away. He's been a good tight end for sure. He probably just had his best year in 2023, 95 catches, but he's never had 1,000 yards. He's never had more than 6 touchdowns. If Brock Bowers is TJ Hockenson, I think that'd be disappointing. I think he should be better than TJ Hockenson really has ever been. And maybe that's crazy. I didn't have a good player comp in my opinion for Bowers rather. Hockenson ran through my head. I didn't think it made too much sense. I think Bowers is just more skilled as a receiver. The guy who made the most sense is like a very rich man's Dallas Goedert. Like he's an inch shorter than Goedert. He's a little smaller. Goedert didn't run at the combine, so it's hard to compare. But that's the only guy who I could kind of find because, you know, we use Goedert in ways where you get him out in space. You use him in tight end screens. And the one thing I wanted to push back on Shane on, you think he's only an average blocker for a tight end?
Yeah, I think his lower size profile, I think, does limit him some as a blocker. And so I don't think he's got near the blocking ability that a guy like Dallas Goedert, who you've comped him to, has. And I think it's not a technique thing. Like, I feel like he's really technically sound. I think ultimately it comes down to that size. And so I would not. I've got no qualms about putting him in line and letting him block. I just don't expect to like get Dallas Goedert, for example, because that's the guy we're talking about level blocking out of him.
I've just been so impressed, and especially in big games against really good D linemen. I feel like I've been so impressed when he locks in, and even when they get him out in space blocking a little bit. Like I think he does have a lot of that Goedert in him. So I was just surprised to hear you say he's average as a blocker. I was reading a scouting report that said he gets crossed up a couple of times, and you could see it on tape a couple of times, but I was really, really impressed with him as a blocker. I mean, impressed enough for me to say he's better than some guys who are in this class that are blocking tight ends. So I was really impressed.
All right. Well, let's turn the page from Brock Bowers. Let's go to our consensus tight end 2 in the class. And again, I think this is pretty chalk. Everybody's got this guy tight end 2. It is Jatavion Sanders, tight end out of Texas. Dibes, talk to me about JT Sanders.
Yeah, my co-host, Ryan, this is his boy, so I hope I do this justice. But anyway, you know, you look at Brock Bowers, who's like incredibly well-balanced. JT Sanders, not so much. This is a guy that is, I think, one of the better receiver tight ends in this draft. He broke Texas's tight end yardage record again with 682 yards, 45 receptions, 2 touchdowns. He averaged 15.2 yards per reception, and most notably eclipsed over 100 yards against teams like Alabama and Baylor and Oklahoma State in that Big 12 championship game. So you love to see kind of the high-level play against good competition. He was excellent at the NFL Combine, 82nd percentile with a 4.69 40-yard dash. He had a 1.6 10-yard split. That was good for 91st percentile. I think JT Sanders is at his best when he's working up the seams. He's excellent at catching balls in traffic. He's a really smooth mover. He's got incredibly strong hands. And, you know, when you look at how Texas utilized him, over 30% of his snaps, he was aligned out wide, but Texas kind of used him, also used him all across the offensive formation, whether that was H-back or just utilizing him creatively in those formations. I think he is a beast when he's utilized most in motion, finding those mismatches, using that elite athleticism to expose that short to intermediate range in the football field. I think when he's in the slot or out wide getting screens, getting him in space, that is going to be the bread and butter of JT Sanders at the next level. And there's still a lot of room for him to grow, you know, in addition to his blocking. I think he needs to become a better route runner. His route tree still has a lot of room to expand. And when you talk about the blocking, you know, he's a willing blocker, but that's not what you're drafting this dude for. Like, this is an NFL ready receiver. He's going to be a safety valve for quarterbacks at the next level, working that short to intermediate area of the field, and just be just a weapon when it comes to getting into the open field, you know, threatening defenses down the field. And I see a second round target for this guy. We've mocked him to the Philadelphia Eagles several times in our mock draft shows. So JT Sanders, if you're an Eagles fan, is definitely one to know.
Yeah, he's one. I would say he is extremely limited as a blocker. Like, this is just your receiving tight end, and he's good at that. He's not the snappiest route runner, I don't think, but he's strong at the catch point. And key is he had zero drops this season. So he's got sure hands, good long speed, good acceleration. He's much more of your prototypical, like, receiving tight end, put him in the slot, never ask him to block. Which makes him an interesting fit if, like Dibe said, if you're an Eagles fan, when you have a Dallas Goedert who is so good, but you like to run 12 personnel, it gives you some options. Mark, anything you want to add in on JT Sanders?
No, you guys covered it. I was surprised his vertical was so bad. He only had a 30-inch vertical. I was looking at, like, the other guys, and they're all, like, you know, upper 30s, near 40. Weird little quirk there that kind of is really driving down his relative athletic score. But, yeah, he was my tight end, too. I will say I kind of at the beginning of the process expected myself to grade out a little bit higher on him. I thought he'd be, like, a fringe first-rounder for me, but he's very much, like, a mid to late second-rounder.
Yeah, he is number 49 on my big board, 44 for Mark and 51 for Dibes, just to give you an idea of where we're at. So those are our top. Sorry, what was that?
It's always funny to see, and this is why I love the spreadsheet so much. It's always funny to see certain guys where I was like, I'm the highest on him. Like, it's not a guy I would have pegged myself to be the highest on.
Yeah. So now we're going to go to our number threes, and we all have a different guy at number three. But we all have the same guys in our 3 through 5 slot. So we're each going to talk about the guy we have number three, and we'll mention where they fall for the others. So my number three tight end, he's number 4 for both Mark and Dibes, is Ben Sinnott, the tight end out of Kansas State. He was unranked as a recruit, committed to Kansas State. He is 6'4", 250 pounds. He had a 4.68 40-yard dash, which is 70th percentile. He had a 97th percentile vertical, a 96th percentile three cone, 94th percentile broad jump, and a 91st percentile shuttle. Overall, he had a 9.72 relative athletic score, which I'm a huge fan of. In 2023, he had 49 receptions for 676 yards and 6 touchdowns. The year before, he had 447 yards and 4 touchdowns, which is basically the 2 years that he was a starter for Kansas State. Sinnott has obviously the relative athletic score. He's got elite acceleration, burst, and agility. Now, I think he's got average long speed. I mean, 70th percentile 40 is not bad, but he's not a field stretcher, but he's fast enough that you can run him up the seams, but he's really good in those short areas. I think he is a pretty good run blocker. He's got a lot of positional flexibility. He was listed as a fullback for Kansas State in 2020 and 2021. In his time at Kansas State, he took 12% of his snaps in the backfield. 63% lined up in line and 22% in the slot. So he's kind of a move piece, an H-back sort of. And he's got solid run after the catch ability. It's not earth shattering, but that short area burst that comes into play. Now, he could still get better as a blocker. He's got poor technique a lot of times. He'll get his pads too high, his hands too wide, and he takes bad angles. Once he actually locks onto a guy, he does a really good job sustaining those blocks, but sometimes his targeting is off. And then I think he struggles to separate at the top of routes. He doesn't take the best cuts. He throttles down really slowly, and he just lacks that physicality you want from a bigger guy working through that route stem. So I've got a third round grade on Ben Sinnott. He's 72 on my big board. He's 89 for Mark and 85 for Dibes. I think he's an intriguing guy, but he's not a guy, you know, that I expect to come off the board in the second round. Mark, anything you want to add in on Ben Sinnott?
Yeah, he's one of two guys that at different points of this draft process I've heard are kind of creeping up to the tight end two conversation. And I think he's probably the consensus tight end three out there on most boards. Maybe Shane could tell me otherwise. I know we have a consensus tab there, but I feel like just from what I've read, it seems like he's tight end three for most. I wouldn't be surprised if he went in the back end of round two.
All right. Dibes, anything that you want to add in there?
No. Big time target for the Birds. Also have mocked him to the Eagles multiple times. Definitely one of those favorite late day two, early day three guys.
On the consensus board, Mark, Cade Stover is the number three. And then actually Theo Johnson is slightly ahead of Ben Sinnott. So Sinnott's actually number four or number five, excuse me, but it's really close. So, okay. Well, let's keep it rolling here, and we're going to go to our next guy. This is tight end three for Mark. He is number five for Dibes and I. It is Theo Johnson. So, Mark, talk to me about Theo Johnson.
And, yeah, this is the other guy that I feel like at certain points of this draft process has sort of crept up into the tight end two conversation. I feel like it's cooled off the heat around him as of late. He's a 9.92 relative athletic score guy. So this is a freak athlete. I always fall for these types of guys, the Zach Kuntz, if you will. There's always been a stud tight end in the back end of the draft who rises throughout the process. And I always fall for it. Sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't, but this guy, he is a former wide receiver and you can see it. But he has those skills at 6'6", 259, runs a 4.57, a 39.5-inch vertical. Only had like 54 catches for around like 670 yards over the last 2 years, but he had 11 touchdowns in that stretch. There's a lot of untapped potential there as a receiver, and he's a really good inline blocker, uses his long arms really well. So Theo Johnson has become pretty comfortably my tight end three.
All right, Dibes, anything that you want to add in on Theo Johnson?
One of the biggest winners of the Senior Bowl and then the Combine. Like throughout the whole draft process, he looked really good, crisp in his routes, able to create separation at the Senior Bowl and at the Combine. He was just, his measurables were just off the charts. And I agree with this. I think this guy could surprise a lot of people as a day two pick. And you know, coming into this process, he was probably more of a day three undrafted guy. So one of the big time climbers.
Yeah, his athletic testing is, he knocked it out of the park. And I just never saw that watching him. Like, I feel like getting that explosiveness out of him on the field would be a major breakthrough. And, you know, you do the testing. And so, you know, it's there. You've just got to harness it. So that's a big thing for me. I didn't think watching him in the season, he was a very good route runner, but then like you mentioned at the Senior Bowl, so it's kind of a tale of the tape versus the pre-draft process and trying to figure that out. So I think teams may be a little bit of all over the place on him.
I remember looking at his stats on our previous show, and his 2023 tape was very forgettable, and there are times when he had some good games, and I don't recall seeing Theo Johnson lighting it up. So what stood out the most at the Senior Bowl was the smoothness in his routes, and that was not expected.
Yeah. All right. Well, Mark has Theo Johnson 88th overall. Dibes has him at 91, and I have him at 103. So let's get into Dibes number three. He's number four for me. He's number five for Mark. It is Cade Stover out of Ohio State. Dibes, what do you like about Cade Stover?
Yeah, this guy's just a throwback rugged tight end. 6'4", 251 pounds, relatively still learning the position, very good athlete. He has zero issues beating coverage at the line, very explosive out of his breaks, you know, looks, moves pretty good for someone at 250 pounds, excellent ball skills. He looks natural. He's got great hands when it comes to catching balls in traffic. He's been a big time producer for Ohio State. I like the way he fights through defenders at the catch point. I think he's somewhat of an underrated yak kind of guy. He's not an elite athlete, but he does have some good moments on tape. And you know, when it comes to negatives, there are some. You know, when he's sifting through zones or trying to get through traffic, he seems to kind of look like he's moving slower than his competition. He's a work in progress when it comes to blocking. But when it comes to size and strength, if that's what you're looking for, he's got it. He can move people when he wants. He just needs to get coached up and he needs more reps at the next level. And I don't think this guy has elite athletic upside as some of the other guys we just talked about, but I do see him as a tight end too, in the NFL right away, you know, with utility on all three downs. I thought he was an underrated, cog in that Ohio State system. Playing in the shadow of Maserati Marv. But look, I think he's a fun late day two, early day three guy. And I agree. I think he's tight end three in this draft. And whoever drafts him is going to get a good football play.
Got a comment coming in here on YouTube from Joe that says, would you compare Stover to Ertz?
No. I don't think Stover is the athlete that Dallas Goedert was coming out of. Where did he come out of college? What was the name of that school?
Goddard was South Dakota State. Ertz was Stanford.
Yeah.
Let me look at the combine numbers.
Yeah. Another thing that's interesting with Stover is he was a 4-star recruit as a linebacker. So he didn't really move. He played both sides of the ball in 2020 or 2019, 2020. I mean, he never had a reception in those 2 years. 2021, he had 5 receptions, but in 2022, he moved exclusively to tight end. And so he's relatively new to the position. So you look at some of his inconsistent blocking and things, and he looks unsure when he's running routes, I feel like, doesn't read out zones well and things. And you can write that off to being new to the position. So he's a guy that, you know, he's a little bit of an older prospect because he's been at Ohio State for 5 years. But he's still learning the position. And so sometimes that's really difficult to project as well.
Yeah, Dallas Goedert had a 9.48 raw athletic score. And Cade Stover was in the 8s. So definitely not the athlete. Doesn't have that ball skills that I remember watching from Dallas Goedert at South Dakota State. But I still think he can be better than Grant Calcaterra or Alberto. I would draft him if he's sitting there day three.
Yeah.
By the way, someone said someone commented about Brock Bowers. And Brock Bowers is actually the only guy that I think in the entire draft that I would accept the trade up for.
Really?
For the Eagles. So he's a number one on my Eagles big board for sure. And I don't really think tight ends a particular need. He's just such an elite prospect that if he did slip down the draft, I would totally endorse going up and maybe using one of the two for second rounders that you have to go up and get a guy who's an impact guy. Maybe that means you move on from Goddard next year or something and get value from him there. But yeah, if you can get Bowers, you can do it. I would probably prefer to just sit at 22 and probably trade back. I wouldn't trade up for Arnold because there's too many good corners. So Brock Bowers, definitely a guy that I'm absolutely interested in the Eagles. To kind of follow up on what Dobbs said earlier, I meant to follow up on it.
All right. Well, there you have it. Our top 5 tight ends at number 1 and 2 were all the same. Brock Bowers, number 1, JT Sanders, number 2. And then from 3 to 5, I go Ben Sinnott, Cade Stover, Theo Johnson. Mark goes Theo Johnson, Ben Sinnott, Cade Stover. and Dibes goes Cade Stover, Ben Sinnott, Theo Johnson. So there are our top five tight ends. Be sure you guys check out our draft spreadsheet. We tweeted it out. It's got the big board, the top 100 for each of the three of us, as well as Ryan, which is Dibes co-host on Party and Broad, and David, who is mine and Dibes co-host on Birds of the Roundtable. So you can check all of that out. Again, you can make a copy of it and you can do all the filtering things. But guys, before we get out of here, is there any tight ends that didn't make your top five, guys that you want to give a shout out to, maybe a favorite day three guy, anybody like that? I'm not going to lie. I was just over watching tight ends after five, so I don't have one, but if any of you do, I'm happy to hear it.
Yeah, I'm curious if Dives has the same one or a different one or what his thoughts on this guy are. But Jared Wiley is probably my tight end six. Probably just missed my top 100, to be honest. He's a guy that he's really, really low on PFF's big board. So when I do these one-team drafts that I've been doing for every team in the NFL, I have Jared Wiley on every team. But he's got a 9.3 relative athletic score, 6'6", 249, runs a 4.62. He had 47 catches this last year, 8 touchdowns, 520 yards. And his best attribute is as a blocker. I feel like we do kind of see these tight ends that are diamonds in the rough that go in the third, fourth round and pop more than we expect. And it happens early on for quite a lot of guys. So it wouldn't shock me if Jared Wiley went in the fifth or sixth round and ended up having a nice career down the line.
Yeah, that's a good one. He's definitely high on my list. Excellent athlete. The two that I'll bring up, and they're not guys that I'm not necessarily high on, but, you know, here we are. Brevin Spanford, 6'7", just looks like an elite red zone threat. I think he's more of a day three to undrafted guy. But, I mean, he's 24 years old. He needs to improve his route running. But, man, like, he looks like a mismatch waiting to happen in the NFL. The other guy I'm looking at is A.J. Barner out of Michigan. Spent the first 3 years in Indiana, went to Michigan. Didn't have a lot of stats, but 6'6", 250 pounds. Really good length. Not an elite athlete whatsoever, but he's a really good run blocker. And that's kind of going to be what he is. And as we know, the Eagles love those kind of guys. So maybe he's like a sleeper Eagles target. And we know the Eagles love to draft prospects from teams that win the championship. You look at previous championship winners in the past. So maybe A.J. Barner is, you know, one of those day three undrafted targets for the Birds, but not a lot of depth in this group. You're really just hoping something clicks. Or you could maybe, you know, roll the dice on more of an athlete in Jaheim Bell out of Florida State. He's a guy that is, you know, you can put him all across the football field. He's not really a tight end. He's more of a receiver. Put him at H-back in the slot on outside. Maybe that kind of gadget kind of guy could be a good fit in Kellen Moore's system. Outside of that, there's not a lot.
Another guy like that could be Tanner McLaughlin from Arizona. Good athlete, former receiver, really just like not a blocker at all. But Tanner McLaughlin from Arizona is another guy that he's probably my tight end seven, to be honest, right behind Wiley.
Then you could get the whole Tanner McKee to Tanner McLaughlin in the preseason. Be great.
Yeah, I like that. The Tanner Mick connection.
Yeah. All right. Well, that is going to do it for this episode. We have ranked every single position group now. So if you have missed them, you can go check out the Chalk Talk podcast feed. Unfortunately, the older videos are not on YouTube, but if you're watching this on YouTube, you'll see the new Chalk Talk videos start streaming out to YouTube as we move back into live content now that we're through most of the draft scouting stuff. But we do really appreciate you guys. Thank you for joining us for episode number 153 of Chalk Talk. If you enjoy what you heard on the show, and we know that you do, smash that subscribe button and turn on notifications so you don't miss our next episode. Drop us a 5-star rating wherever you stream your podcasts. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at Shane Half NFL. Dibes is at Mr. Crockpot, and Mark is at Mark Henry Jr. _. And we will catch you guys next time.